Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to Side Action Podcast, Episode 4. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at WegsPool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, also known as Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts. And don't forget to follow the podcast on Twitter at SideActionPod. You can also reach out to us via Gmail at SideActionPod@gmail.com.
If you do follow us, a couple things we've been doing the last couple weeks is Action's been posting some pot picks for the weekend, mostly college. I think we did a pro one too the week before. Mm-hmm. So we did hit on a couple this weekend, so that's exciting. We're trying to give you good information out there.
And a reminder to all you guys that are following us on iTunes or Google Play, make sure you go in there and like and rate the podcast. Every single mention or comment that we receive helps elevate it in the conscious of everyone.
Absolutely. We need that. We need it for sure. So let me go over what we're going to talk about today. First, we'll start off with some legislative updates. There is a couple news items. We'll review our head-to-head picks from the NFL preview of last week's pod. We will cover a couple of questions we had in the mailbag. Then we're going to look ahead to this week for the college football, a little bit of recap and a little bit of week three. Then we'll go over the NFL picks for week three. And then we're going to go over a soccer pick. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe a little WNBA discussion.
Okay, sure, absolutely.
Are you into the finals, the WNBA finals?
I am not yet, but I will be after this.
All right, great.
So anyway, let's talk about the legislative update we've got. It's not a big one, but it's kind of important, especially people in New Jersey. It looks like both DraftKings and FanDuel, which you may know from the daily fantasy discussion we had last week, they actually have betting apps available on their site. It's usually a separate app, and you can get on there and make live bets and bets for futures and over-unders and so on. Were you able to check that out at all, Action?
I haven't logged in. I haven't been in my account in quite some time, but I saw a headline that both companies are starting to get into the sports betting market, and I thought that was very interesting to see because I kind of figured that they would just stay in that daily fantasy realm and not really cross over to the sports betting.
Yeah, well, a couple things. I actually tried to do it. I think it's based on your GPS setting from your Wi-Fi, so I wasn't able to do it on FanDuel at least. And so I'll keep trying to see if I can do it, but you probably have to be in the state in New Jersey, possibly Nevada. We didn't try when you're out there, but so that's one thing. But you know, I've noticed a lot of changes, Action, in the last week. Almost every podcast I've had in fantasy is picking against the spread. They're talking a lot about it on various broadcasts. So it seems to be going mainstream like we expected. But you know, yeah, I think to your point about the daily fantasy kind of crossing over, I think that's just inevitable.
I'm curious to see if DraftKings and FanDuel use their own lines or if they just mirror some of the other bigger books out there.
That's a great, great question. Might be have a little difference in the bigger shops for lines. So why don't you tell me about this big weekend you had out in Vegas? You're out there, man.
Yeah, I was out in Vegas, stayed at Planet Hollywood all weekend for the football games. Spent most of the day in the sports book watching our college football picks and had a really great day. I beat the book, so to
speak.
Yes. So what we're doing is working.
Yeah. Sounds like. Yeah, you were doing work. I guess you can write that off.
Yeah, I have a lot of expenses for the company here.
we'll put that in the hopper. We'll wait till tax time to check that out. Well, that's awesome. I've never done that. I definitely want to do that. I know you do it also for the opening weekend of the NCAA a lot of times, too, for tournament.
Yeah, being out there for a big sports weekend is a great time. I've actually never been out for a fight, but I realized when I was there that Golovkin and Canelo are fighting next weekend at MGM, and I kind of wish I could go back and change my travel schedule a little bit, but one of these days I'll get out there for a fight.
Yeah, that must be awesome. You know, all the big celebrities and all that kind of stuff. That's exciting.
So. Yeah, on Sunday at Caesar's Palace, actually, Floyd Mayweather was there signing autographs.
Yeah.
And he had photos and gloves. Obviously, he was behind like a big curtain. Sure. But you could pay $250 to get a photograph and go back there, and you get to meet Floyd for about 20 seconds.
That guy makes money, man.
You could get a selfie with him, too.
Oh, okay. What did that cost?
$250. Okay. Picture and the selfie for $250.
Oh, wow. That's a deal. It's like two for one.
Yeah, I debated back and forth, but ultimately decided that I didn't really care to meet Floyd that much.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's not in my opinion, not a great individual, but hey, he knows how to make money. I'll give him that.
No doubt about that.
All right.
I understand that you may have opened an account yourself this weekend, Wags.
I did. I went to betonline.com and I opened an account. So I actually bet a couple of the picks we did last weekend. I lost on the Fresno game, but that's okay. It came down to the wire. Mm-hmm. But I did win on the Arizona State pick. Very excited about that over Michigan State. I have a bet tonight on the Rams. I think it's 4 or 4.5 over the Raiders. And then I also did a couple futures bets to follow what we talked about last week. I think it was 5 or 6 to 1 on the Rams and 8 to 1 on the Jags for the AFC Championship.
Okay, you're on your way to becoming a regular pro.
That's right. I'm trying. I'm also trying to get some more information, you know, how to figure all this out for our listeners and to be a little more knowledgeable on this podcast.
Well, you're clearly in with the sharps, because if you got the Rams at -4, you're on the right side. It's out to 6 now here before kickoff.
Okay. Okay, good. I like that. I like to see that. You were talking about you use multiple sites, though, because you kind of shop lines, don't you?
Yeah, I like to have multiple outs or different options that I can use for each game. So I have an account at BetOnline as well and several other offshore books so that I can look for the best odds.
I think that makes sense. You know, sometimes I was looking at the odds, at least in the NFL, and we were discussing this a little bit, kind of rolls into later questions. But yeah, I can see where there's a benefit to find a better line and make a little bit more money, a little less rake, less vig from the house there. And ultimately, we want to make as much money as possible.
Especially when you're talking about football games, there's a major difference between betting a game at 6.5 or 7 or 7.5. Mm-hmm. And if you have options at multiple books, then you can always, if there's a pick that you're interested in, you can always find the number that best suits the angle you're looking at.
Right. I agree. You were talking, we were communicating when Action was in Vegas. We were talking a lot about that Michigan State game, how that line kept moving in our direction, actually.
Yeah.
So we were feeling pretty good about that pick. And even the Fresno actually was moving in our direction. It didn't ultimately work out. But we do know that they were at like the 5-yard line going in for the score. But they threw a pick or something at the end. So, you know, I mean, we're trying to get some good information and dig into the analytics. So it's been fun.
Should we recap our week 3 side action head-to-head picks?
I'd love to, because I'm up 3-1 now on this week, so I'm excited. We started off with the Falcons, +2.5 at Philadelphia. We both actually liked the Falcons in this one, but if you watch that game, it was ugly as hell. Nobody wanted to see that game. It was really ugly. Philly did pull it off. 18-12 was a mirror of the playoff game last year. They had Atlanta had a chance to win at the end of the game and missed Julio Jones in the end zone.
I'd like to vent a little bit about the Falcons, because they were clearly the right pick.
They were.
If that game was played again this week or the week after, I think I'd be betting on the Falcons again, mm-hmm. even knowing what the outcome was.
Yeah.
They were in the red zone 5 times and came away with 9 points.
Yeah.
That was a horrible outcome. I've been reading all offseason about how the red zone offense has been revamped and they have all these new tricks. And it was the same old story. He just lofted it up to Jones every time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think one of those balls was catchable in the last drive there.
No, he also, we're talking about Steve Sarkisian, the OC, who, you know, he has a tainted past at best. But he, I think the first time they got in the red zone, he didn't even have Julio Jones in the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
They threw the fourth down, or I think they went for fourth down that first drive, and they went to Devontae Freeman on an out route. Somehow you don't have your best receiver. By the way, Julio Jones, what did he have, 169 yards receiving? So he was dominating the secondary, but, you know, whatever, man. They'll figure it out. I agree with you. Atlanta's a really good team. And Philly, I mean, they ran some trickeration. They did it again. They did Philly. I don't know if you saw that play, the reverse.
I saw Philly.
So I think their inventive offense is basically what got it done for them.
that was the only real breakout play they had in the entire game, and that basically won them the game there. 18-12 was the final score.
Awful. Definitely the under. And then our second game was Houston plus a 6.5 at New England. You know, that total is 51. So in that game, I know you were really strong on Deshaun Watson. Can you talk about his performance?
Deshaun, disappointed, without a doubt. I expected him to come back off the ACL surgery and really return to his old form, but he was rusty at best. Especially in that first half, the Texans really couldn't move the ball at all, and I was disappointed in their outcome. I'm hopeful that he'll get back to form here in the next couple of weeks because I have him on a fantasy squad too.
Yeah, I did know that, you know, maybe your opinion would have changed. I don't know if the line moved. Will Fuller didn't play in the game. He's that deep threat. He opens up the field for everybody. Definitely hurt the Texans in that game. But, I mean, you can't stop Brady and Gronk and the gang. It doesn't matter who they have out there. They win games, so...
Yeah, I was eyeballing the line all weekend in Vegas looking to back the Texans, but it actually moved the other direction. It was down to six at most shops by Sunday morning.
Okay, okay. Well, in the third game, you did strike back. You got Kansas City, you know, plus – actually, we did the total in this one, 47.5 over the Chargers. Whoa.
Yeah, I did not expect the outcome to go in that direction.
Tyreek Hill was unbelievable. I think it was at the opening – punt return. He had a punt return for 94 yards, I think, after the first series by the Chargers, and then he had ended up having three touchdowns. That guy is, I don't know if he's the fastest guy in the NFL, but he's definitely the fastest receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, the Chiefs offense, I expected to be good, but the Chargers defense did not show up on Sunday. The Chiefs were just running up and down the field on him.
Yeah, I mean, Bosa didn't play. I guess that could affect it, but man, Kansas City was just running all over him. I think the Chargers have lost... It's five or six in a row against Kansas City. For some reason, they have their number. Phil Rivers did play well in this game, though, and they did have some big plays, but we were talking about how good the Chargers should be this year. It doesn't bode well. That defense better improve.
Yeah, I expect them to have a big bounce back here in week two. Their Chargers defense is still going to be good, I hope.
Yeah, they go to the Bills in week two, so we'll see about that. Our last game, and I haven't quite recovered yet, Chicago plus 7.5 at Green Bay. They did cover. They did win that bet for me, but as some of you know, they were up 20-0 on Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers apparently was out for the season at one time, and then he rolls back on the field, hobbling around, and he lights them up for 24 points in the second half. He's unbelievable. He is the man.
I had flashbacks to Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel there, Aaron Rodgers. He's got this big shit-eating grin on his face, and he runs out there and came back to beat the Bears. I still can't believe that happened in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, for those who didn't watch, Khalil Mack, the acquisition by the Bears, you know, from the Raiders in the trade, he was dominant. He had a sack fumble. As soon as they knocked out Rodgers, he got Kaiser for a sack fumble. He intercepted a ball and ran it for a touchdown. This guy was everywhere. I do think conditioning factored in the second half. They didn't get to Rodgers at all, and they seemed to play a ton of man-to-man and could not cover anybody. Everybody scored. Cobb scored. Davante Adams scored. Geronimo Allison scored. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they looked like the old vintage Packers there. Aaron Rodgers is capable of winning any game as long as he's standing on 2 feet.
Yeah.
Or one, in that case, last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, hobbling off of one. They kept saying how he was throwing with no feet on the ground. And I was kind of like, I understood what they meant, but how do the Bears not get to him? But anyway, for another day.
It has to be said, though, the Bears' defense looked really good in that first half. And if they can channel that for a full 48 minutes, I think that they could be formidable.
Yeah, I think that if you really look at it, their offense was very inventive in the first half, too. I just think they kind of let up a little bit. Coach Matt Nagy's new. He's got to learn to go for the jugular. They had a chance, instead of kicking a field goal, to go for fourth down inside the red zone. They decided to go for the kick. You can't leave points on the board against Aaron Rodgers. All right, well, let's move ahead and let's talk about generally week one in the NFL. Besides the games we reviewed, do you have any other observations?
Yeah, there's a couple of teams who look like hot garbage. I'll start off with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, God, they're terrible.
I was in Vegas yesterday, and I was eyeballing the under in that game left and right. I had a full game under and then also went under in the second half. Basically, because I thought the Bills would stink, and I didn't expect the Ravens to run all over them like they did. The defensive touchdowns didn't help at all, and it ended up going over the total. But looking forward, I'm going to be trying to go against the Bills a lot this year. I can see myself betting against them a lot.
For those of you that do survivor pools, I definitely pick the Ravens in my survivor pool happily. The Bills may be one of those teams you target every week to just have the other team until they surprise you and win a game. But
another team with a disappointing performance I thought was Arizona. Mm-hmm. I expected them to come out and go toe-to-toe with the Redskins and at least make a game out of it, but that was a non-watcher from start to finish.
Yeah, a couple things in that game. I will say that Washington looked really good. Alex Smith, who people forget about, you know, they got rid of him in Kansas City because they're making the room for Mahomes. He played great. He was under control, ran the offense very well. Adrian Peterson had 96 yards rushing. He almost had a touchdown. He was dominant. That team might be a lot better than we thought.
The NFC East is going to be a battle. I mean, Dallas was down yesterday. I don't expect them to challenge for much in the East. But the Giants played decently well against Jacksonville, and they might battle with Washington. Obviously, the Eagles are going to be there until the end as well.
Yeah, they'll get healthy. How about them Saints, huh? Who dat?
Yeah. Who showed up for defense yesterday? No one.
Wow. I think that, to mention Survivor again, a lot of people got knocked out with the Saints. I really didn't expect Tampa to put up any kind of numbers like that. Fitzmagic was in the house. 5 touchdowns throwing, 1 running, you said?
Yeah, he ran one in the first half.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy, you know, give him a lot of credit. He's got the beard. He can make the throws. Obviously, DeSean Jackson is healthy. 2 touchdowns for him. 150 and a touchdown for Mike Evans. It was unbelievable. They were lighting him up. Now, the Saints did score a ton of points, and they definitely pushed the total, but I couldn't believe how bad that defense was for the Saints.
Yeah, I expected them to be much improved after last season. Obviously, they're my Super Bowl champion pick, so after week one, things are not looking too good. But I still think that there's plenty of time for them to bounce back.
Yeah, week one, I had heard a stat that they haven't won an opening game since 2013. So last year, they got nuked by Minnesota, as you remember. So they bounced back and had a great season. They'll be fine, but it's just crazy how badly they played yesterday.
I wish I had known that before betting yesterday. I would have taken the Bucs at 4-1. Although I did have them plus 10.
Did you?
I did.
Awesome. A couple other things. Let's review some key injuries out there. Delanie Walker for the Titans out for the year. Dislocated ankle, horrific injury. Jeremy Hill tore his ACL for the Patriots. You got Doug Ball went out with an MCL sprain for a few weeks for Seattle.
It looks like Greg Olsen may be out too. I read this afternoon.
What is his injury? Do you remember?
Something with his foot or ankle.
I did see that play. Stepped on the guy. Mariota's out with a wrist injury. Unclear how long he's going to be out for the Titans. So there's a lot of key injuries out there you can probably play on for betting purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've talked about how lines move for big injuries offensively and defensively. Mariota is the one that stands out to me, which may adjust the points for week two.
Yeah. I don't even know if they've posted that yet, because they'll probably wait to see what the injury is before they post the line so they don't give any advantage to us savvy bettors.
Yeah, as of this Monday evening recording here, there is no line for the Tennessee game.
Yeah. And lastly, as everybody knows, Le'Veon Bell did not report to the Steelers. James Conner played great in his place. So it looks like they didn't miss a beat, although they had 6 turnovers or something against the Browns. They still tied the game. And again, as you said on your tweet, did anybody bet the draw in that one?
You know, the draw, I didn't see odds for them yesterday in Vegas, but I'm sure it would have paid out pretty well. And leave it up to the Browns to be +5 in turnover differential, but still not win the game.
It's unbelievable. They got a field goal blocked in overtime with about 2 minutes left or something. It was just really sad, but at least they didn't lose.
Yeah, I saw somewhere posted that their 0-0-1 start was actually the best start they've had in 14 years.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible. It makes sense, though. They've been terrible, so that's exciting. All right, well, let's move on to the mailbag. We had any questions that we had to handle out there?
Yeah, we had one question that came up last week, and Sports Better wants to know, what does the term middle mean, or when you're going for the middle?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know that. What is the answer to that one?
When you're looking for a middle opportunity, that simply means that you early on in the week have bet a game that you think may move in a certain direction in your favor, or you may not think it will, but for some reason it does move in that direction. For example, yesterday the Cincinnati Bengals opened up early in the week as +3.5 on the road against Indianapolis, and those of you who are watching the odd screen yesterday may have seen those nosedive by kickoff. It was a pick'em in most books in Vegas yesterday. So for those of you who may have been savvy enough to get Cincinnati +3.5 earlier in the week when that line opened up, you could potentially find yourself in a situation where you can bet the other side up to game time and take Indianapolis at a pick'em or even -1 and potentially have that window in the middle or the middle that you could win both bets. And it's another way to hedge too against your initial wager, and also gives you the opportunity where you could win both bets.
That's great. You were mentioning a text yesterday. You did a hedge of some kind in that regard, didn't you?
Yeah, similarly, it works well with teasers. I had a teaser going yesterday with the last leg of Green Bay last night going into Sunday Night Football, and that took them down to a -1 on my teaser leg. So I had Green Bay to cash a ticket at -1, and I knew that the Bears were +7, so I saw that as an opportunity to make a wager for a little bit less on Chicago to cover my initial wager on the teaser and have the opportunity to win both, which is ultimately what ended up happening. I pushed on the Green Bay leg, but I won some money on the teaser, and then Chicago +7 cashed as well.
That's great. That's layering those bets really gets you some profit.
Yeah, I will say, though, in some cases, the VIG can eat into your profits. If you miss the middle in those cases and you make the same value bet on both sides, then you're going to end up losing out that VIG every time. So you're losing the 10%. But if you hit the middle, obviously, you can hit double time. I'll also add that it tends to historically work out a lot better in NFL games because, Wegs, as you know, the NFL games are always a lot tighter. The talent discrepancies are not quite as vast as they are in other sports. College football, for example, you see some wild final scores that may vary from 1 point to 25 or 30 points, and hitting the middle is a lot more difficult when those scores vary so wildly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, college, some of those games, I mean, 60-point blowouts, it's hard to hard to keep it close.
Yeah, absolutely. And most NFL games are close.
Yeah, they're all close.
They're going to be within that 3 to 4 to 6 point range. That's why when you're looking at numbers, you want to make sure that you're getting the best of that side of the key.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about college football. So the recap for week two, I mean, we hit big. We love Herm Edwards. He plays to win the game, and he won. He won the big game against Michigan State. They won by 16-13, kept it really low. Michigan State they didn't look strong in our first week, and we identified that. We also used that S&P Plus measure to kind of identify this game, and it was exciting that it actually hit. So you say now they've got the letdown game. You think there's a letdown game against San Diego State?
Yeah, obviously they're going to be riding high coming into week three here. Even though Herm Edwards is known for his disciplinary tactics, I still think that the young men there in Tempe maybe partied a little bit too hard on Saturday night. And going here into week three on the road at San Diego State may be a tough spot. They're currently 4.5 point favorites. I was looking to back Arizona State here, but I may stay away from this game ultimately.
Probably a good stay-away game. I like your analysis of the party kids at Tempe. It is a party school. There's lots of good-looking ladies there. I'm sure the guys had a good old time Saturday night, and now they might be looking right past San Diego State. The Aztecs actually, they played pretty well the week before, so, I mean, I like this idea. You stay away from this game.
Yeah.
So what else you got here?
Another note that I picked out of the stats over the weekend was that games with FBS teams, the under went 29-19. And I think most of that was probably due to the weather. I was in Vegas. It was 105 and sunny, but I did see on the TV that it was pretty rainy here in Chicago over the weekend and throughout the Midwest.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot. You saw in the NFL game, Pittsburgh-Cleveland was a quagmire. They delayed the game, the Titans against Miami for 3-4 hours or something like that. So weather is definitely a factor. And you said there's, yeah, another hurricane coming through. So
yeah, this weekend, Hurricane Florence is supposed to make landfall in the Carolinas sometime Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And that rain is going to last throughout the weekend. It could be torrential in some spots. So my recommendation to all you bettors out there is just make sure that you check the weather before you lock in your bets this week. Especially when you're playing totals, the heavy rain and wind can really impact scoring.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, definitely. And then you also have listed Ole Miss allowed 38 points to Southern Illinois, or Salukis, this past weekend. They've seen that the defense in the S&P sink to 115 in the country, huh?
Yeah, 115th ranked defense for the Ole Miss Rebels, which is quite the contrast. They have the number one rated offense.
And guess who they're playing this week?
Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think we'll be making a pick on that one later. But hey, I love teams that score in college, and those are teams that are fun to watch. But man, that defense is bad. It's just going to be a back and forth. It's almost going to be like a basketball game.
Yeah, I don't think that there's many offenses in the country that's been quite as impressive as Alabama so far. Tua is slinging it, and even Jalen Hurts got in there and did some damage yesterday.
Yeah, when they score so many points, they let everybody play. And then you got Duke. Yeah, I was up in Evanston on Saturday, and I could hear the PA announcer from where I was walking. And when I checked the score, I was shocked to see Duke was kind of taking it to Northwestern after they looked pretty good against Purdue.
Yeah, Northwestern may have been a little bit overrated coming into the weekend. Their victory over Purdue, although it was a big one on the road, probably was not really as good as the win indicated. And Duke really came in there and took it to them. But unfortunately for Duke, their quarterback got knocked out with a collarbone injury yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
Or Saturday. And he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Ooh.
So they're traveling to Baylor this weekend, where the line opened up yesterday, Duke -3. Okay. And as I logged in this afternoon, I saw that Duke was out to +6.
Oh, my God. That's obviously with the announcement of the injury.
Yeah. So talk about a middle spot. I unfortunately didn't get in on the Baylor line yesterday, and I'm going to probably be waiting this one out as well.
Wow, that's rough. That's rough. So we've been looking at that S&P Plus ratings, and I've actually dug in quite a bit, as we've discussed on the bets last week, and I've done it again this week. You were talking about some teams that jump up on the rankings.
I was looking at the S&P Plus as well this morning, and there was a couple that jumped out at me. First of all, Mississippi State. They looked really good on Saturday in their win at Kansas State, and they're up to number 6 in the S&P Plus, which contrasts with their rank in the AP poll at number 16.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've been kind of doing a comparison. They're definitely a team that's on the rise. They obviously are in the SEC. Might be tough for them to survive. However, when they play other non-ranked opponents or even ranked opponents from other conferences, they're definitely a strong team. And I kind of am looking at that in general. When you have those strong conferences, those teams that play outside a conference, they might surprise you, especially from a betting perspective.
They have a cupcake on the schedule this weekend, though. I don't think I've even seen a line out for it yet. So
yeah,
it may not
I think
be
they're playing the Ragin' Cajuns. I got a line. It's 32.5.
32.5. I might look at Mississippi State there in that game.
Yeah, they're definitely rolling. Another one of those teams that I've got on my list is, you know, Oklahoma State. In the AP, they're 24, but in the S&P Plus, they're 11. So there's a big differential there of 13. That's another team. They tangle with Boise State. That's going to be a tough game right there.
What's the line you have on that one?
I've got that one at Oklahoma State's at home. They are favored by 3 points. Now, Boise's actually at 5 in the S&P Plus, so that might be an interesting situation to bet, but challenging.
Yeah, I saw that Boise State put up over 800 yards of total offense against the Connecticut Huskies this weekend.
Wow, that's a lot of yards.
They were running up and down that blue turf.
Yeah, the Smurf turf was doing some magic there. But you do also identify that Michigan is still highly rated in the S&P Plus. I'm not exactly sure why, but they did bounce back big this week.
Yeah, they ran all over Central Michigan, who I think might be one of the worst teams in the NCAA FBS.
Yeah, they are favored by 35 points over SMU this weekend.
That could be another blowout for the Michigan Wolverines.
It's a get-right game number 2. When we look at week 3, what do you like out there, Action?
Well, there's a couple of situational spots that I've been looking at here, mm-hmm. looking at the schedules. I like to try to identify spots in the schedule or motivation factors that might play a part. One game I've picked out is the Colorado State versus Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed, but your Rams had a big comeback victory against Arkansas on Saturday night.
I can't believe they beat an SEC team. This is exciting. This is stop the presses. They did score a lot of points in that game.
At one point, they were down 18, which had me sweating my Colorado State ticket a little bit, but they came out victorious, and I was able to cash.
You did ask me what I thought about that game, and I said you got a stronger stomach than I, my friend, but you won. I'm really happy for you.
So I'm looking at this as a letdown for Colorado State. They're going into Florida. The line opened up at 19.5. It currently sits at Florida minus 20. If you recall, Florida actually had a big upset loss this weekend as 2 touchdown favorites over Kentucky. I believe that's the first time in 15 or 20 years that they've lost to Kentucky. So I expect Florida is going to come out and look to prove a point this Saturday. Unfortunately, that could be bad for your Colorado State squad.
Yeah, I think the Gators will eat the Ram this time, but I can't believe Kentucky went in there and beat them. But I understand that they've been close before in the last couple years, and this was their year to break through. So I agree with you. This is a bounce back spot for Florida against my alma mater.
The next one I was looking at is our favorite beloved Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, they ended up going over the total again on Saturday night.
Shocker.
The high flying offense proves it again. But this week, they're going to be traveling all the way to the Eastern time zone to face a game Army squad. Mm-hmm. And the game starts at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Do you know what time that is in Hawaii, Wags?
I don't.
It's 6 a.m.
Ooh, ouch. That's
Can you imagine
one.
Waking up to play a college football game at 6 a.m. in your home time zone?
That's rough. That
yeah,
is
me
rough.
Neither. What Army opened as 5-point favorites, but it's been quickly bet up to 6, and I'm going to be looking to back Army in this one. The total is a little bit lower this week at 62, and as we talked about, I may wait on that and check the weather.
That's probably a good idea. I will say in the S&P Plus, Hawaii is rated at 106. 106. Army is 91. So, yeah, I think I can back that bet. You got to – and actually, I saw it at 6.5, so it just keeps moving. So it depends on when you want to get it at. I know you love the Warriors, but this time it may run into the buzzsaw of Army.
I'm interested to watch this one, definitely.
All right, you got one more on the slate here. Georgia State comes into Memphis on Friday, huh?
Yeah, Friday night special. Georgia State is one of the worst teams in the ratings. They are 119th in the S&P Plus, and they're coming into this game off back-to-back travel and are currently sitting as 26-point underdogs to Memphis. Memphis are ranked in the top 20 of the S&P Plus. I was surprised to see that as well. And the ratings, if you look at the differential, this one should be an over 4-touchdown game. And right now, the line's only at 26.5. And the only way that I'm looking for this game is to back Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good spot. Memphis has been strong in their games this year. So I think that's, I mean, you're talking about almost 100 differential on the S&P Plus. That doesn't happen too often.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more game you didn't put on here that I do want to talk about that might be interesting. We can talk about it from a betting perspective. I got Houston, who's coming in at 37 on the S&P Plus, and they're playing Texas Tech, who's 50. Tech is actually giving up 2 points on that one. They are hosting the game. What do you think about that situation?
Well, Houston looked pretty good this weekend over Arizona. They held Khalil Tate in check, and I was pretty impressed with that defense. They also put up a ton of points, too, so I would probably lean towards Houston in that game.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's an in-state game. Houston seems pretty good. Texas Tech is not what they've been in the past. I think I would like Houston in that game for sure. I have to put that on bet online, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead to the NFL, huh? Well, we talked about week 2 a little bit. Were you able to look at any DVOAs? I looked this morning. I didn't see anything yet. I think they may have to come after the full week. But we can talk about how the performances may impact your decisions. Like, for example, Kansas City, you know, they're going into Pittsburgh. You saw them light up the Chargers. Does that make you feel stronger about them going to Pittsburgh? Or do you think that was just kind of fluky against the Chargers?
No, I mean, as we talked about last week, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be a shot in the arm for this Kansas City offense. And obviously, Andy Reid is one of the best prepared coaches in the league. They're going into Pittsburgh this weekend as 5.5-point underdogs. And I'm going to be really interested to see how this one pans out. It's got a super high total of 52, 53 in some spots, which I think might be a little bit too high. But Pittsburgh coming back home, they're obviously going to be hungry after the draw against the Cleveland Browns. But Le'Veon Bell is still a question mark. This is a game that I'll probably wait on, to be honest with you, but very interested in it.
We'll definitely put that one on the head-to-head one for the over. What about Tampa? Are they for real? They're going to host Philly. Fitzmagic, he had a great outcome. What do you think about them against Philly?
No, they're not for real.
I agree.
New Orleans was obviously looking ahead. They thought that game was in the bag. This week, Tampa Bay hosts those defending champs, Philadelphia. Philly didn't look too great last week against Atlanta, but as 3-point favorites here on the road, I'm definitely going to be looking to back the Eagles.
I gotcha. Are there any other games you were thinking about in terms of performances that would impact your betting this week?
Interested in the LA Chargers and the Buffalo game. Buffalo obviously looked horrible yesterday. They could barely move the ball against Baltimore. And the Chargers opened up as 9-point road favorites in Baltimore. It's been quickly bet down to 7 and 7.5 across the board. I'll be interested to see where this line moves between now and Sunday.
It's a little tricky. Those West Coast teams, not unlike Hawaii, going all the way to the East Coast, probably an early noon start. It's going to be one of those situations where can Phil Rivers get his bunch going early? A lot of times they start off sluggishly and have to come back in those games. So, yeah, you better line shop that one because the 9 was pretty high. It probably made sense. Everybody was going on Buffalo. Buffalo looked terrible. But I'm sure they have some pride, and I would guess that they're not going to start Nathan Peterman again.
That'll be interesting. They've got to go to Josh Allen. I don't see any reason that you could start Nathan Peterman again in week 2.
He played half the game. Allen did. He played okay, but man, that team is bad.
How about Minnesota at Green Bay? That looks like it could be a thriller on Sunday at noon kickoff.
That's going to be a great game. At this point, are you showing it as a pick'em?
It looks like that the Packers opened as -1, but it's down to a pick'em now.
Yeah, for me, Minnesota is so good. But Green Bay, as long as Rodgers is standing upright, I definitely would wait to see what's going to happen with the Rodgers injury. I'm sure he's going to play, but he may be limited in practice and so on. So I think Minnesota's better than them, but that's a tough spot. I would stay away from that game personally.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be staying away, but definitely interested in watching to see how Rodgers plays in week 2.
Mm-hmm. You got any ideas for our listeners who participate in Survivor Pools? Do you have anybody you particularly like for next week?
For Survivor Pools, I am probably going to be looking to oppose Buffalo, like we had talked about earlier, but my strategy is to avoid picking teams that are on the road.
Yeah, me too.
So the Chargers is definitely a stay away for me. There's a few other teams that had pretty bad performances over the weekend. Arizona Cardinals stand out to me. They're going on the road against the LA Rams, but I'll probably look to save the Rams until later in the season. There's a few other teams that might jump out at me. The Washington Redskins host the Indianapolis Colts, and perhaps even Pittsburgh against Kansas City.
For me, I haven't dug too deep into the slate, but I would say this week looking at it, it's actually a lot closer. These are a lot closer than I like. They get a little twitchy. Last week was easy. I probably would just go with the Rams personally just to take the chalk. I know everybody's going to probably pick them, especially after tonight if they win. But yeah, you do have to stay away from those road teams in general. I think that's smart. But yeah, I mean, your Colts on the road may not be as good, and they did blow the lead. Your boy Jack Doyle fumbled the ball, and it's their chances of winning the game.
That was an unfortunate ending.
Yeah.
How about the Seattle and Chicago game? Next Monday night, you've got the Bears coming off that horrific collapse against Green Bay. Do you think that they can hang with Seattle?
I do. I think they'll win the game for sure. I'm standing right here. They're going to win that game. I do think Russell Wilson is a great quarterback for fantasy, but this team is not as good as they've been in the past. Case Keenum kind of lit him up yesterday, and I think Trubisky, as long as he doesn't run the ball every time like he did in the second half last night, they'll beat this team. They have the injury to Baldwin. They look like they kind of have a lot of different faces on defense. I don't really like Seattle this year at all. I think the Bears at home will rally, and Mac will probably have another week of conditioning under him. They got a little tired in that second half yesterday.
The Seattle Seahawks offensive line is a little bit down, and I expect that Mac and company will be getting after Russell Wilson on Monday night.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Would you be looking to pack the Arizona Cardinals on the money line at plus 500 against LA Rams?
No way.
Tampa did it yesterday. I know they did. Why can't Arizona make it two in a row?
That's crazy. Plus 500, huh? I don't know. When I look at some of these money line bets, I guess I'm just not as much of a risk taker as some. That's how those guys win the big money. I get that. Like, I wouldn't. I mean, Buffalo's only plus 250. That's crazy. But yeah, to me, until I feel really confident about what I'm looking at after week one, it's almost like the preseason now. We talked about how that pros have preseason. However, half the guys didn't play much. You saw that in the Bears game. A lot of these guys, it was like preseason. I mean, there were so many penalties in these games. It wasn't as fluid as you're going to see in week three or four of the season. I need a little bit more to feel confident about some of these bets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other angle that I kind of picked up on yesterday, just hanging around in the sports book at Caesars and went to Mirage for a little bit, is the first half unders.
Okay.
I was picking out a couple of spots yesterday where I might like a game total to go under in some cases, but typically a lot of these NFL games will start out slow and you might see more scoring in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
There was several spots that I picked out and went under in the first half yesterday that turned out to be profitable for me. So I'll be looking at that again this weekend, especially for some of those games that might be impacted by the Hurricane Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Going under in the first half is usually a pretty good angle. One, two spots that I'm looking at are the Houston and Tennessee game.
Okay.
And also that New England Patriots and Jacksonville. Those are going to be two pretty low scoring games, and I might be looking to take a first half angle on both of them.
Well, I think that's smart. I think especially early in the season, we talked about how the preseason really wasn't as full as it's been in many years past. The teams aren't as sharp and the defenses are kind of ahead, but until these players are fully conditioned, the second half, you see them tiring and they're getting beat deep. They're getting beat across the middle. There's a lot of fatigue going on and the offenses take advantage. So mm-hmm. I think that makes sense that the totals probably get really close for the whole game, but the first half is slow and the second and the fourth quarter. I mean, if you could take a fourth quarter total, that they're always going to be over. I mean, it's kind of insane what's happening in a lot of these games.
Yeah, but I do want to caution you, though, when you're looking at first halves, don't take a number that might be a bad one just because you want to get some action down. I can provide a prime example. On Saturday morning, I was looking to back Ohio State and Rutgers under, and I saw 35 in the first half and was thinking, great, I'm going to go up there and make this bet. I get to the window and I put my money in and I tell them my selection, and the total pops up at 34.5. And I was thinking, oh, crap. But I made the bet anyways, like a dumb novice. I'm still learning too, folks. And of course, what happens is Ohio State puts up 5 touchdowns in the first half, and they're up 35-0.
Dang it.
So had I been disciplined, and I knew that when I saw that 34.5, that it was going to cost me, and sure enough, it did.
Yeah, you got to be smart with those key numbers, right? Important to get those key numbers. Too bad, action.
And we'll get them next time.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about our head-to-heads this week. We've covered both college and pro. We're going to do two from each. I think that's exciting, and I'll get all of our listeners from both sides of the table. And so the first game, LSU is going to Auburn. LSU is getting 9.5 points. The total's 46. I actually like LSU in this game. I am back to America's underdog. I am taking the underdog, the road dog.
Okay, interesting. Both of these teams are coming off cupcake wins last weekend, so they should be both well rested, and I'm really looking forward to see how these two teams face off here in week three. I'll love to go against LSU this week and Auburn. In fact, I already bet them yesterday when this line came out.
You bet
so
Auburn.
So I'm happy to be on Auburn here, -9.5.
I am sticking by my S&P Plus rankings here, and LSU is 12, Auburn's 18. I know it's a road situation, but I mean, I'll take those points.
Okay.
All right, second game, we've got Alabama at Ole Miss. We talked about the scoring of Ole Miss. The total is 70.5. So where are you at on this one, action?
You can find me on the over in this game. I'm going to keep an eye on the weather when I actually get up to make my bet on Saturday morning. But as of right now, if you put me in the spot to pick a total over or under in this game, I'm going to be going over every time. That Ole Miss defense is porous. I saw a little bit of a game on Saturday where Southern Illinois was slinging it all over the field. And when Tua steps out there, they might score 70 by themselves.
I think you're probably right. I have to take the opposite on this, but 70.5 is not enough points. I don't know what their totals have been in their first two games, but I would venture a guess that Ole Miss is going to give up a ton of points.
Mm-hmm. And they're certainly capable of scoring a lot, too. Ole Miss has a stout offense. I think they're in the top 10 of the S&P on the offensive side. So that one, I expect, will have a lot of points.
Absolutely. What's our third game? We're going to the NFL now.
Yeah, so the final two games, we're going to pick some NFL. And one of the great Eastern Conference matchups this week is the New England Patriots going on the road to face Jacksonville Jaguars, a rematch of that AFC Conference Championship last year. And as of this moment, New England is a 2-point favorite, and the total is 45. What say you, Wegs?
Well, you know I love the Jags. They're my Super Bowl runner-up this year, and they are getting the 2 points. It's not a key number, as we've discussed. I probably would, in reality, like to tease this game to get over that at least the 3, but I am on the Jags. I will take those 2 points gladly at home, and I think they may even win the game outright.
That's a pretty good angle there, Wegs. I think that Jacksonville as a teaser leg would be a really great play. You can get them +2 and add 6 more to that, get 8 points in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. I think that Jacksonville would be a great teaser leg. But as you mentioned, New England are the reigning AFC champs. Tom Brady looked pretty good on Sunday.
He did.
Gronkowski got into the end zone. And even with the loss of Jeremy Hill, they still have some formidable running backs with Rex Burkhead and James White. And I think that New England could squeak this one out and win by a field goal or more.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great game, probably one of the better games of at least the first quarter of the season, and maybe another AFC Championship review.
Yeah, it could be. That would be great if they faced off again.
Yeah, I would love that. So now our last game is the Giants going at Dallas. We know Dallas wasn't looking great yesterday at Carolina, but they're coming home. Jerry's World. They got ODB and Eli Manning coming to town with Dallas is favored by 3 points.
Yep.
Who do you like in this game?
Yeah, the total is set at 42.5 too, which I think, as a side note, might be a little bit too high. I like the under in this game. I do think that the Giants are the better team here, and I am going to be looking to take those 3 points on the road. Giants usually play Dallas pretty tough. And like you said, Odell Beckham looked like he was back to his former self yesterday. And the Giants' defense actually was quite impressive, I thought, going up against Jacksonville.
Yeah, we do this head-to-head segment. We just want to keep a running total, you know, the stake bet or whatever, which is great. I do like that bet a lot, what you're doing. I will bet online for that one personally. I will take Dallas in this matchup for the head-to-head, -3. Hopefully, I mean, Dak didn't even look good. They have no receivers. You know, that's the problem on this team. Mm-hmm. As good as Zeke Elliott is, his line's banged up. The Giants are going to play better. They actually played pretty good this week against Jacksonville. They played more physical. And if they can run the ball on Dallas with Saquon Barkley, it's going to be tough. You put the ball in Dak's hands late, he just can't make the plays with these guys. We saw it yesterday against Carolina. And the Giants have a pretty solid secondary. So I think you're right on that side, but I will take Dallas -3.
Add to that, too, the New York Giants defensive line has been playing really well, and I expect that they're going to hold Elliott in check on Sunday night.
Yeah, and will hurt one of my fantasy teams, but that's fine. All right, in other sports, you wanted to talk about the WNBA Finals. Let's talk about this.
Did you know the WNBA Finals are going on right now, Wegs?
I was not aware. I'm sorry.
I've been keeping tabs on this a little bit. My roommate actually is heavy into the WNBA. Okay. He's got a sister who played in the WNBA, He's a big fan. So we've been talking a little bit about the Seattle Storm and the Washington Mystics.
Okay.
The Storm opened up pre-series at -240 favorites over Washington. Elena Deladan is battling a little bit of a knee injury that she picked up in the semifinals.
Okay.
And I think that was really the main reason for the opening lines here. Over the weekend, I think you probably missed it, but Seattle took both games 1 and 2 in the best of 5 series, and game 3 is on Wednesday night in Washington. And I was looking at some lines. There's only one book online that has the number available. But Washington's +3 at home, and the total is 167. Mm. In the WNBA, the home teams tend to play a lot better. There's much more of a home court advantage.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to be looking to back Washington, but provided I'm going to read up on Elena Deladon's status before game time.
Now, from Rob's experience, your experience, are a lot of these do these series go the distance? Are there a lot of sweeps in these series? I don't watch it enough to know.
Well, I think there has been some sweeps over the years, but both semifinals series went five games this year. And I think that Washington is set up at least to get one at home. Well, obviously they have to get game three if they're going to continue.
Yeah, to me, that's the play. It's just kind of a pride play. They're not going to get swept at home. To me, they're probably going to win the game outright, but you get the 3 points on top of it. That's great. You know, Deladon, former Chicago player, I know that. Maybe she'll get in there and do her Willis Reed impression and make some plays to get the crowd into it and get this win.
Actually, the play that I like better on this game is the under. Okay. I was looking at the box scores from games one and two, and both of them went well under this total of 167. Okay. So if this is real, I'm going to be going under. I expect this game will be played in the 150s at the max.
Okay, that may be even a better play. All right, last thing, we're going to talk about soccer. That's Action's favorite. Here we go. What's the play?
So the international break is over starting this week, and the EPL is starting back up next weekend.
Okay.
I was looking at some of the games for next weekend, and although there is a thriller between Tottenham and Liverpool, I didn't really see much in terms of a betting angle in that one, although I'm definitely going to be waking up early to watch it. The one game that I picked out again this week is Manchester United. I feel like I've been picking on them a lot, but
I
think
it's, like
for,
them.
It's for good reason. A lot of their players were on an international break, and I think that, again, hurts them in how they are preparing for the season. And they haven't shown well early on. And Watford, their opponent this week, has been lights out. They've played four games, won all four of them, and they're tied atop the standings with Liverpool and Chelsea. They came back from a goal last time against Tottenham to beat them 2-1. And they have an expected goals for of 1.2 per game and only allow 0.7 goals per game. As I told you the weeks before, Man United's defense has been very shaky early on, and they're allowing 1.5 expected goals per game.
Okay.
So in this one, you can get Watford at home plus a half a goal on the goal line at even money, and I'm going to be backing that just in case there's a draw that'll win me money, or if Watford win. And I'm also going to be sprinkling a little bit of money on the three-way money line at Watford to win at plus 335.
That's winning money.
I think that they have a good chance of winning this game, and 335 odds are certainly out of line with their true odds to win this game.
I like that. It's great analysis, and you don't see those kind of lines in the NFL, so you might as well make some money elsewhere.
Yeah, there's certainly, in soccer, a lot better chance that those underdogs can actually pull out an upset week in, week out, even though Tampa Bay did pull it off yesterday.
They did. You do also have some Champions League title odds here as well.
Yeah, I was walking around Vegas yesterday looking at some of the different books to see if I could find some good odds on my Juventus team. Unfortunately, there wasn't anything that I was willing to put my money on. But I did see that across most books, Manchester City is a favorite at plus 450, followed by Juventus with Cristiano Ronaldo, if you may know, has been transferred there this year.
Okay.
So they're second favorites. Behind them is Barcelona at 600, Paris Saint-Germain at 700. Real Madrid has been pegged down to 800, and follow that up with Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid, and Liverpool. They're both at plus 1,200.
Can you tell me really quickly, won't go too deep into it, when the Champions League, so how many different leagues are filtering into that championship?
Champions League is basically the championship of Europe. So every season, the domestic champions from across all the leagues, including England, Spain, Italy, and France, even all the way down to the tiny countries like Ukraine and Estonia, their champions get to go play in this tournament. And a lot of the smaller teams have to qualify for the group stages, which are set to begin in the next week. But these teams are really the only pool that have a chance of winning the thing. The top dogs historically win this competition year in and year out, and you really don't have a big underdog that has any chance.
I gotcha. But it's pool play like the World Cup and then or group play, and then it goes into elimination knockouts.
Exactly right. Yeah, they play in group stages just like the World Cup. And then after that, it goes into the knockout round, which begins in February. And the difference there is they play home and away during the knockout rounds. And the winner is based on aggregate score.
Oh, from two games. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so out of this list, there's nothing really that jumps out at me as something that I'd be willing to bet. But I did find it interesting to see that Juventus was down so low and Real Madrid had dropped in the odds just based on that Cristiano Ronaldo trade.
Well, he is pretty good.
He is good.
He is a big, good player. That'll be all for episode 4 of the Side Action Podcast. Thank you all for listening and rating and liking and getting us all the information to your friends. You can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. You can follow me, Wegs, at Wegspool on Twitter.
And you can follow me, Steve Roberts, on Twitter at 31SRoberts. We'd like to thank you all again for listening. We're really enjoying bringing our sports and gambling knowledge to you all, and we hope that you continue to follow us and like us and rate us. Don't forget, on iTunes you can subscribe and unsubscribe. That certainly helps. If you go off and on, we get extra bonus points for that too. So please reach out and follow us on Twitter and keep enjoying the sports gambling topics.
And if you do make picks, either ones that we've suggested to you or you have your own pick that you'd love to give us, tweet at us. You know, we'll respond. We're not that busy. We can have time to do these things. And we want to connect with our listeners. We want to make sure that you guys are getting good picks, but also we'd love to share information that you guys are using out there.
Thanks again for everyone for joining us. And please make sure you stay safe out there with the hurricane pending. Those of you in the Southeast, batten down the hatches and we'll ride this thing out.
All right. Until next time.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.